For life. Yo, 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 what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, the microphone messiah, and I'm joined by the current reigning, sometimes defending, Bulletcast podcast champion, Brandon Tanaguma. BT, it's Thursday. How you doing, man?
Philip, I'm doing just fine. You know, little sick boy over the weekend, so if I sound a little bit different, I'm perfectly fine. You know, I'm at that point where, like, you know, you're not really sick anymore, but then, like, you might sound bad or, like, you cough a little bit, but, you know, I'm here, like always, Mr. No Days Off. Except for like three or four episodes. But, you know, we're at what, 363 at this point. So cut me some slack, all right?
We'll do. Yes, we're going to get into all the things about professional wrestling. Yeah. How was you said you were sick? That was your weekend?
Well, you know, I was sick, but I was also very sick at the NFL playoffs. Made like $200+. You know, don't gamble, kids. It's not a good habit, but if you are, be successful at it.
Yeah, I was at the Oasis Pro Bar Brawl. I saw that Sancho Demir guy get slammed into the wall and beer spit in his face. What a time that was to witness, huh?
Heard he really deserved it.
Ah, yeah. Terrible guy. SmackDown recap. Orton, Knight, and Styles defeat Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso. Then after the fact, they send a message to the tribal chief, taking out Jimmy and Solo and putting Solo through the announce table the way the Shield used to put guys through the table back in the day. Thought that was a nice little callback. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it was fine. I continue to like the dynamic of Nick Aldis as the SmackDown GM. He's, you know, he has a certain authority to him. He's not super heelish, but, you know, a little different than Adam Pearce and, you know, Solo and Jimmy. They just, when Roman's not there, I mean, something just feels kind of off. They just kind of seem like at just like a much lower level than Roman. And, you know, when Roman's there, obviously he's not losing, he's not doing too much. And then when Solo and Jimmy are kind of by themselves, they're, you know, taking losses, and they're just like, you know, as I said, Roman's there, the bloodline is the bloodline, but then when Roman's not there, they're kind of just like fodder for everyone else on the roster to then have Roman get mad or Roman, you know, show everyone up whenever he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, there was that. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. The Final Testament. That is the name of the group of Karrion Kross, Scarlett, Akam Razor, and Paul Ellering. And they want the Street Profits. I like this promo. I thought it was great.
It was a decent little promo with Karrion and Scarlett. I think they have great chemistry when they, you know, do a promo together, and seems as though we might be setting up the six-man tag at Royal Rumble. Maybe it's like a SmackDown thing. I don't know, because, you know, two Royal Rumble matches, you don't want to have too many, you know, non-Rumble matches on the show. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic with Karrion Kross's group. As I said, you know, Kross seems to have like the look and the potential, but just hasn't really put it all together. So maybe it's probably his last opportunity, to be honest, in WWE to do something of note. And I think he knows that, and he'll probably try to get the best out of this.
Absolutely. Hopefully they do well. I'm excited. We still don't have a name for the Prophets and Lashley, huh?
They're just the Prophets and Lashley.
I saw on Lashley's Twitter he posted Leader of the Pride, but then he was taken out of his bio, so I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they're still working on the name. Anyway, Outside of the Ring, Dark Side of the Ring is coming back. Season 5 will be airing in March. We don't know what the episodes are yet, but it's making its return. I mean, this may be their last season. I don't know what other stories they can tell.
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, stories in the wrestling business. The good thing is, you know, they've kind of covered a lot of the well-known stuff. Maybe they kind of dig a little bit deeper and try to, you know, uncover some of those things that we don't know too much about. But that also might be hard to gather information on as well. But fell a little bit behind in Dark Side of the Ring last year. Have maybe three or four still on the DVR that I haven't really touched, but they always do a good job. And they always kind of bring to light, and when the episode airs, sometimes it'll be like the discussion of the day or the week. So I'm intrigued to see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think I saw season four. I can't tell you what episodes were there.
I know was it, they had an FMW one, which I watched. Kind of like if I didn't know that much about it, I kind of would watch it. I think they had a Matt Bourne, no, Doink. What is Matt Bourne, right? That's his
Matt
name.
Bourne, yeah. Yeah, it's
Okay.
your guy.
Yeah, Matt Bourne. I think they had one on him and maybe some other ones, and I mean, a lot of them are kind of revolving around like that early 90s, 80s era.
Okay,
So.
these do sound familiar now that you're. They had a Bam Bam one, right? Yeah. I didn't
I
see
think they
that.
might have that JYD one as well.
Okay, yeah, I need to go back and rewatch. We still need to talk Iron Claw.
One of these days, maybe once it comes out on the Cock or something, or no, it'd be on HBO because I think A24 signed a deal with HBO.
No, we'll get something going. I would do an extensive Iron Claw review. Yeah. Black Taurus is a free agent. Black Taurus is an exciting talent. I've seen him out here in the Bay and West Coast plenty of times. Hopefully he lands somewhere, man. I mean, where was he? Was he just in Mexico or?
So he had a deal with AAA. Seems as though he might have signed with AEW slash Ring of Honor. But then the other thing is AAA owns the Black Taurus name, so he might have to go through something else. Maybe he's like, I don't know, Black Toro or Black, something that's related to a bull. But as you said, I've seen him a few times at West Coast. He's a good wrestler. Character wise, I mean, he has a good look. I don't know too much about like his English or his promo style, what he can really do, but he has a different luchador look, which I think could help him. But AEW has a lot of luchadors and a lot of wrestlers that are good wrestlers, but they just kind of get thrown into the mix.
I
They
don't
have their.
know. I'm sorry. I don't know why, but NWA, I feel like he would go there. I don't know why that I'm getting those vibes.
I mean, after someone did some booger sugar on a pay-per-view, I don't know how much money they got to be signing free agents.
No, I mean, aren't they, didn't they get the CW deal?
CW app.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Speed of recovery to Bruce Pritchard had a surgery. Don't know the severity of it, but speed of recovery. Grayson Waller, Sunrise TV. So Grayson Waller and LA Knight, yeah, we're promoting Elimination Chamber coming to Perth, Australia. I guess one of the floor directors wanted to get punched, and Grayson Waller, being Grayson Waller, defended the business. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I seriously hurt you. It wouldn't be a fake punch. I'd punch you for real. Disrespect me. In our business. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Have you seen this?
I have not seen the video. I did hear about it last night when I was listening to a podcast, and I meant to go look at it. I forgot, but I mean, this is great. I mean, we haven't seen in this day and age. I think people kind of see wrestling for what it is, and wrestlers themselves aren't really kind of about that business anymore because they're not pushed like they were back. Like what The Undertaker did it in like the early 2000s. Roddy Piper on Bill Maher, and countless others. Obviously, like Dr. D. David Schultz and stuff like that, but I mean, we haven't seen something like this in 20 years, and so every time it kind of pops up, it gets a good chuckle out of me.
That's an open palm slap. Oh, Dave Schultz, man. Can we get Dave Schultz on this podcast?
Just as long as no one tests them.
I'll do some digging, man. I'll try. I'll try. I love Dave Schultz. Huge fan. All right, inside the ring, TNA Hard to Kill happened. Trinity is no longer the Knockouts champion. Moose is the TNA heavyweight champion. Yeah, a lot of things. A lot of shuffling was going on. It looked like a packed house. Looked like a good size. Crowd, love the aesthetic. What were your thoughts on seeing all this?
I agree. The aesthetic looked very nice. It was at the one of the Las Vegas casino arenas, and it did look different. I like that. Trinity, dropping the title to Jordynne Grace looks as though she's on her way out of Impact.
Wasn't Jordynne Grace a free agent? Didn't she leave Impact? Oh,
I don't know.
I
I
was
don't know.
confused. Yeah, we reported that. So
And
with
in perfect TNA fashion, because they're back. TNA's back, baby. They signed WWE. Former WWE wrestlers Dolph Ziggler and Dana Brooke. So
Yes, at
TNA is all the way back.
Ash by Elegance. That is what Dana Brooke will now be known as. And then Nick Nemeth showed up, super kicking the new heavyweight champion, tearing off, I think it was a Motley Crue shirt and showing TNA. Dolph Ziggler's been, I mean, making the rounds, bro. I mean, in the past, what, 7 days, we've seen him associated with New Japan, TNA, and GCW. Coldest Winter 2, the match that's, what, a decade long overdue. Dolph's, or Nick Nemeth will wrestle Matt Cardona, so that's going to be something. February 3rd in Los Angeles at the Ukraine Center. So, yeah, that's going to be on and popping. And the New Japan Battle in the Valley was out here. Saw a couple boys, got to hang out with some of the boys from that, so that's cool. But Jungle Boy showed up out of the crowd, tore up his AEW contract, and he's now with New Japan.
Very interesting. Obviously, you know, I don't think he's like fired from AEW or anything like that, but you know, him going to New Japan strong, presumably, maybe working more in the States and that elk. I'm intrigued to see what he can do. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely gotta kinda rebuild his reputation, his character after the whole CM Punk incident. So New Japan land on his feet and hopefully he does something with it. Apparently it's a really good show. You know, kinda regret not going, but you know, seems like Battle in the Valley has kind of landed as like a very important post Wrestle Kingdom show for, you know, New Japan, especially New Japan Strong here in the States.
I mean, after Battle in the Valley last year, how can you top it? Like, how can we top going after what happened to us?
Exactly.
Right. All right, moving. Well,
I think Jack Perry knew that Punk was in the building last year, so he had to show up to this year's. He's just that petty.
I see.
Yeah, it all comes full circle.
Right. We have fan mail from Mr. X, the Hall of Famer.
Mr. X, who day?
Yeah. How serious do you think the knee injury for Seth Rollins is? Should they scrap any in-ring ideas they have for him until Mania to keep him as healthy as possible? That's always a possibility, but the whole thing with Seth being the World Heavyweight Champion is that he's always on team. I mean, he's always defending the championship. That's kind of his thing. I mean, that's the thing with any guy that, you know, we saw it with when Brock was Universal Champion and, you know, the WWE title was over on SmackDown and all that other stuff. I don't know. I would hate for him to have what another title run come end because of injury. That would suck. But I don't know. We have to wait and see how this is going to affect him and the title run and the creative plans.
Yeah, we haven't really heard anything, which kind of leans it being bad news, unless they're going to try to keep everything under wraps. But I think if there was some good news come out of this, if he was, you know, he's going to be out for maybe a couple weeks, but he'll be fine. Maybe miss the Rumble, but we'll miss WrestleMania. Maybe that. I'm pretty sure word probably would have got out by now, but. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't kind of look it at this point, and you kind of got to reshuffle.
How would word get out? Isn't that HIPAA? Oh, you can't.
Well, I mean, you know, that is another thing, but I think just the, you know, the rumbles around the locker room or the rumbles around, you know, creative is like, oh yeah, Seth is, he'll be fine. You know, we're not going to know the exact what happened, but we'll just like, oh yeah, he'll be gone for like maybe a week or two or maybe a month, but he'll be fine. He'll make the Mania, but I mean, at this point, we haven't heard too much, which kind of concerns me.
I mean, remember he got an injury like when Samoa Joe debuted, and like he landed the wrong way. It's not Joe's fault, but you know, like he got like slightly tweaked his knee, and that people were questioning like, "Oh, is he going to make it to 33 to face Hunter?" And he did, you know. So we have to wait and see. He also asked, "When Serena Deeb comes back, should she be the first female member of the BCC? Are they baby faces or heels?"
This has been an issue with the BCC for just pretty much forever because everyone loves Danielson, everyone loves Moxley, Claudio kind of take or leave it, and then everyone hates Yuta. So it's like no one really knows how to feel about them.
Because she, you know, released that statement about, you know, what she went through in her medical crisis. She would have to be a babyface when she comes back.
I mean, I don't think she has to be. I think a lot of people don't even really know why she was gone in the first place. And I think her character when she left was so good that I wouldn't want to tweak too much of it. So I maybe would go towards her being a heel, but if she wants to be a babyface, I think she could do that as well. But I think right now, like the women's division kind of lacks upper tier
Yep.
heels. So I think maybe Serena Deeb could fit in that role.
We'll see. He also says, love what R-Truth has been doing with the Judgment Day these past few weeks, but is it adding a bit of silliness to the group that hurts them as a dominant faction in WWE? This is a topic that's been talked about on the internet. Let me ask you a question, man. Peter Rosenberg said this on Cheap Heat this week. Are the Judgment Day as hot as they were 6 weeks ago?
It's kind of hard to gauge how hot a whole group is, but they seem kind of around the same.
War games. That's the gauge.
I feel like they've kind of maybe, if anything, maybe like a little bit less, but I think that's just kind of the overall time of WWE.
Is it one of those things where like it's t you know it's taking this little down period right now, but then it'll get hot again?
Yeah, I mean, we're a couple, a week and a half away from the Rumble. I just think it's kind of hard to gauge the group as a whole, just because they've always had like their levels. It's like Rhea's obviously the top, Priest and Damian, or Priest and Finn kind of have their little thing, and then
Rhea feels so separate from the group.
and that's the other thing too. It's like if Rhea was like fully a part of the Judgment Day, and like they were out there doing those 10-minute promos all together, which I'm glad they're not doing that anymore. Maybe I would say a little bit more, but Rhea, as you said, has been kind of like her own thing at this point. That is just like, and she's also been kind of separate from the R2 stuff as well. Like she's there, but I don't even think she was there last week or this week. She was like they're together, but then like she left, and then they kind of did the whole thing with the money.
Yeah.
So.
Don't know. We'll see. Speaking of promos, Drew and Cody had a great promo on Monday Night Raw. What do you think of this?
I thought it was really good. As they dived into, they were very similar, but then also very different. I think Cody is the perfect antithesis to Drew to kind of, balance him out and be like, I understand everything you're going through, but yet you're saying what I'm doing is fake. It's not fake. I love the crowd. I love dressing like a politician and like all that other stuff that, rightfully Drew kind of called out. And I think that's kind of what led people turning on him in AEW or led to people turn on Cody a little bit in AEW, but
It hit a lot of story. It hit a lot of story beats. Cody and how the way he talks and how he sounds like he's running for public office. That's stuff people talk about on the internet. Love how Cody was the first one to be out there for MLK Day. I might add, shout out. How was your
he
MLK
ended
Day?
racism.
How was your MLK Day? Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. Once again, watch some wrestling, watch some football. It's a great day, just like MLK would have wanted.
Absolutely. That was his dream. They talked about, the politician, talked about, their careers outside of the WWE. They alluded to their history, Drew's last indie match. Cody reminded him before he walked off who won. Talked about CM Punk. He was like, hey, you were just with them, made an AEW reference. A lot of good story beats were hitting right here. And Drew said he's operating at a different level. He is. He is. I like this version of Drew McIntyre, It was a little, like, I like these promos that Drew cuts, and then like, I don't know, people were like a little taken aback by the one he cut with CM Punk, kind of like playing more of like sympathy or whatever. But I thought this was really well done, man. Yeah, man. I mean, Drew says, it's his story to finish. Cody says he still wants to finish his story. Punk has the story of finishing the main event at WrestleMania. Whose story gets finished first? Because that's the name of this episode. Whose story gets finished first? Is it Cody? Is it Drew? Is it Punk? Is it Rock? Rock is out here too. And I love how Cody said, Little Rock. Loved that.
I would say Punk's get finishes first, just because I think he main events night one, wins the title, main event of WrestleMania and all that stuff. I think Cody also finishes his story night two, wins his title, beats
No,
Roman and stuff.
no, 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 no. Cody's story this WrestleMania is that he's not going to get to finish the story at WrestleMania.
He's not even get a chance to finish the story. Doesn't even get the pen.
Look, bro, I said it. Rock Roman, that's the biggest match you can do. If he's available, you do that. You do that.
I'm not saying it won't happen. It's not saying I don't want it to happen, but
And then, I mean.
there's rumblings, there's people, the internet, which everything's this true on the internet apparently, that it seems like there's still the plan for Cody. Still no word on exactly what The Rock is doing. But
Brandon, let's just go to WrestleMania. Let's just go. It's gonna be the biggest WrestleMania of all time. We have to be there.
I mean, if if there's a plug, I'm all for it. Going back to Drew, if the Seth thing is legit, I think whether he signed or not, exactly, that Drew should be, I think, the person to have the title going into WrestleMania. It should be Drew and CM Punk. I think that's probably the next best option for that title at WrestleMania.
Well, I don't know. Hey, Punk, what you call it? Punk called out Cody, so he says it's time for them to be face to face in the ring. So I think that's happening next week.
Yeah, Punk did like a little Instagram story kind of plugging Raw, and so he'll be there next week. And it's a go home show to Raw, so obviously they're gonna have all the heavy hitters there, Drew, Punk, Cody. With the whole Seth thing, I wonder how much this does throw in to a tizzy, because it's like, do you wait like a week or two to see what happens, or do you kind of shuffle it right now for Rumble? No clue. And I think Punk needs to win at Mania. I don't think you'd just give him the title either at Rumble or at
No.
Elimination. I mean, who knows? Maybe they pull a 92, what was that, 16, where they put the title up for grabs at the Royal Rumble.
I don't think they'll do that. We'll see. We'll see. Seth Rollins retains the World Heavyweight Championship against Jinder Mahal. Yo, I thought for a split second, I'm like, oh, we go running back. But they hindered the gender. They hindered the gender. People now, all the now that what time is, oh, how many, what was it, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23? It's been like 6 years since gender was the WWE champion. People have like looking back at it like, it wasn't that bad. This is what I was telling you guys then. Why didn't you listen to me 6 years ago? I could do with a gender title run real quick. I wouldn't be mad at it. Look, I said it when Finn was going up. I wouldn't be mad if they took it off of him. Said it when Shinsuke was going. I wouldn't be mad if Shinsuke won. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. If Jinder won, wouldn't have been mad at it.
I agree that like last pinfall attempt by Jinder, it was very good, had everyone invested that he possibly could have pulled it off and beat Seth. But match was good overall. Obviously with the knee injury kind of limited Seth a little bit there at the end. But I thought it was a good match. A really solid match. Jinder, for all of the things people say about him, he's adequate in the ring. He's almost like The Miz, kind of. He'll be there. He's not gonna like do any of the flashiest moves in the world, but he's not gonna mess up for the most part, and he'll be there, and he can be carried to a good match.
I don't know if he's like Miz. Miz is doing springboards now. Let's hold on.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Babyface Miz is like Will Ospreay.
Babyface Miz is the best worker in the room. Hold on, man. Like, stop. Stop playing with me. Or with him. Sorry. Love you, Michael. All right. Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. Yo. Should they have done this? Is this too soon? Because if Becky wins the Rumble, then you're like, oh, okay.
I mean, Becky losing to Nia kind of antennas up, like, oh, okay, maybe they're really going to push Nia. And then this time they focus on Becky Rhea, which is definitely the bigger match at WrestleMania. And I thought they told a really good story of Becky kind of being the aging star and just being like,
Here's what.
she's the young gun now, and I wonder if I can beat her. And I
Here's
don't
what
think I
you.
can, but I still have to prove myself.
Here's what you do. Bayley wins the Royal Rumble. That's my pick. I'm calling it early. Bayley wins the Royal Rumble. Goes after Io. You do that. Bring back Hugger Bayley at Mania. You go to Perth, Australia. Rhea defends the title against what? I guess Nia or whoever. She does something there. You have the Women's Elimination Chamber. If Nia's not in the title match, then Nia's in the chamber with Becky. Becky pins Nia. That way she kind of gets her win back and advances and gets to face Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania.
I think we do get Becky and Rhea at Mania. I don't know how we get there through the chamber, though. I think Nia and Rhea in Australia, Rhea's going to get the big hometown reaction.
Okay,
It's definitely not, it's not
it's
Hulk
simple.
Andre with the slam or anything like that, but I think maybe almost solidifying her as kind of like a baby face, or
Well,
maybe even
then,
like the jumping off point for her to be a babyface.
Then you can do a couple things. Like, you could run this back. I remember, was it No Mert? Oh, no. No Way Out 2009. Edge lost the WWE Championship in the first chamber. Then when Kofi Kingston made his way for the World Heavyweight Chamber, Edge attacked him. Boom. And then went into the chamber. You could do something like that. And then Nia has done something like this before. She attacked R-Truth at the Men's Rumble a couple years ago. Her and Rhea go on before the Women's Chamber. Rhea gets the job done. Nia's not happy with whoever's in the Women's Chamber. Let's say, I don't want to just bury anybody. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. But whatever wrestler is going to make their way, Nia comes out of nowhere.
Chelsea Boom. Green Karens her way into the Elimination Chamber.
Sure.
She threads a lawsuit against Adam Pearce.
Sure, something like that. Nia attacks her. Boom. Nia takes that spot in the pod. You can do something like that.
Boom. Book it.
Yep. Right. Damian defends R-Truth. And tell us about those.
Yeah. I mean, apparently, R-Truth is selling bootleg shirts outside the arena, even though it's like 5 degrees and like a winter storm outside, apparently, a Little Rock, because some wrestlers had some trouble getting in and the crowd, I guess, had some trouble getting in. But, you know, now Damian, I guess, has turned around on R-Truth just because he's pulling in some cash. So a little wrinkle to the story, which I got a kick out of, I must admit. I was like, oh, okay, I did not see this coming.
Money talks.
Yep.
AEW Dynamite, tell us about it.
So we started the show off with a TNT title match. We got a WWE classic from, like, what, 2006 or something, with or 2000, I don't know, Christian Cage. And
no, it was like WWE Superstars 2010.
Christian Cage taking on Dustin Rhodes, TNT title. You know, decent match, a lot of chicanery on the outside, and Christian gets the win at the end of the day. Copeland is kind of just doing his thing over on Collision, doing open challenges against, like, low-level guys, so I don't know.
The Copeland Open.
If they're going to clash anytime soon, maybe at Revolution, I don't know. Renee Young, or Renee Paquette, did some interviews backstage, one with Hangman, one with Swerve separately. They both just kind of established themselves and talked about the lay of the land and how they are looking to be champion. And I just thought they were very good, very straightforward. You know, Swerve kind of saying, God can come down, and I think Hangman has a chance to beat him, but yet he still hasn't beaten me. And then Hangman kind of responds to that and just like, look, Swerve, you know, we've had our differences. I'm not really trying to go after you, but I'm trying to win that title. And if I, you know, got to go through you to get the title, then so be it, basically. So I thought it was just very straightforward sports-like stuff.
It kind of adds a little oomph to Hangman, you know?
And also adds something to the title. We rarely have people, multiple people, multiple acts going after, or at least establishing they want to win that world title at the same time.
Yeah, whatever you do, do not do a tournament, because they do too many of those.
I would assume we're getting some sort, you know, probably a triple threat match at Revolution, which
they
not the
do
biggest
gauntlet,
fan of.
They don't do gauntlet matches, huh?
Nah.
WWE, that's one of their specialties, is the gauntlet match.
I mean, that's usually what they do to kind of like get over like an underdog, like a Ricochet, or like what the Creeds did and stuff like that.
I mean, it works though. It works, but is it just those two, like, that are, like, really in the picture vying for the championship? There's nobody else?
Not really. So that's why I'm saying a triple threat match seems pretty likely.
All right. We'll see. Jay Briscoe tribute.
Yeah, did not realize a year to the date yesterday, I believe, that Jay Briscoe passed away. So
yes.
Mark Crazy. Came out, you know, talked about his brother, got, you know, choked up, and he brought out Jay's kids. And the whole Briscoe family was kind of at ringside. And then they ran a video package afterwards. It was, you know, very nice.
I mean, his daughters being able to walk out there, they were damn near paralyzed in that accident a year ago. So glad to see they're doing well. That's crazy, man. Oh, man. I hope they're healing. I mean, it never gets easier, but, you know, I hope they are healing. The Young Bucks interview. This, I didn't see it. I read about it. Tell us.
So we had another, this one was a full sit down with Renee, and the Young Bucks dressed up like they were last week, you know, in their suits and their funny hats and their mustaches. They wanted to be addressed as Nicholas and Matthew Jackson. They talked about how they're EVPs, and at the beginning of AEW, they set out to become, well, I forget what their exact words were, but they wanted to start a revolution, all that good fun stuff, and they want to get rid of the older generation. That starts with Sting. They don't have anything against Sting, they just hate what Sting represents. And they leaned into the rumor and innuendo on the internet about themselves, which I don't know what that is supposed to mean. So I had mixed feelings about this. I very much loved that the Young Bucks finally had like an established different character than just being being the elite Young Bucks and they go out there and have a good match. At least they have a defined character now.
What rumor and innuendo?
That's the other thing they didn't really say. And that's the other thing that kind of AEW does a lot of. It's just like social media. They're insulated in their social media bubble and they kind of hint at things or they do things that are things on the internet that no one really watches except for like their core 100,000, maybe even 50,000 people that watch Dynamite on a given basis. I read it as like the whole CM Punk situation of like them being crybabies or not wanting to meet with Punk and getting into a fight or something like that. Like that's how I read it. Someone else could read it a completely different way because they see the Young Bucks a different light. I don't know what what they were going after.
Interesting, interesting. Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, I like it.
And we got what? Month
And
and a half till Revolution, so hopefully they can really build up a thing between him and Sting.
the funny hat, it's a kangaroo hat. I used to own quite a few of them. They're dapper. They look very dapper. Love them, love them, love them, love them. Yeah.
Grandpa used to wear one of those back in the day, and once the
There's.
hair fully goes away, I might have to adopt that.
I saw which one had on the all white? Was it Nick? Was it Nicholas?
I think it was Nick, because I think Nick had because Nick had the hat. Matt didn't have that because
It's
I've noticed
Nicholas, yeah.
Nick's going a little bald up top.
Oh, Nicholas, trying to get in his little dapper era, in his little Batista era, you know? Shout out Batista, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday to the former heavyweight champion of the world. All right, Samoa Joe defeated Hook to retain the AEW title. Hook kicking out at one of the Muscle Buster.
I've always been a proponent of the one count. Don't want to use it too often, but I thought this one was a definitely useful in this situation. A really good match. Hook playing very much on the defensive, playing from underneath from a lot of it, and Samoa Joe just establishing his dominance. But yet Hook kind of seemed like a resilient ass kicker, so I thought they, got over what they needed to in this one.
I like the new AEW title. It was like a darker metal.
Well, as long as it's not that Burberry title anymore, I'm all for it.
I mean, you could hardly notice the Burberry strap.
Yeah, but then when Samoa Joe won it, that like 30 seconds he was actually on television at World's End, it just did not look good on him.
I mean, like I was a proponent of, like how Daniel Bryan, the eco-friendly strap, how it was really bright like that. I thought, all right, if you're gonna do the Burberry thing, make it bright like that color, and have the Burberry. I thought they should have done that, but what do I know?
I also wonder how, I don't think they have official word from Burberry, and they probably have some sort of licensing on that thing. So they can't do the exact colors
They're
and
fine,
stuff.
bro. Warrior was running around with a yellow Intercontinental title. They're fine.
But after the fact, as I said, Swerve and Hangman cut. Well, Swerve was at ringside, and then Samoa Joe continued to beat down on Hook, and then Hangman made the save. I thought they were going to have a Hangman heel turn because they kind of lingered on the shot for a long, long time, but it never happened. Hangman just kind of helped up Hook, and they, walked to the back. So.
Hey man, it's like the cranberries. You gotta let it linger.
I see what you did there.
Heyo. You weren't expecting that from me, were you?
No Abaddon on the show, so there's no zombie.
No abandon.
Yep.
Zombie. Brandon, see you? All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Yes, we'll be back next week. Rumble predictions are next week. The title is on the line. We
All
start the
out. All out this time.
Huh?
All out this time.
All out?
No, I'll allow a title defense for the Royal Rumble.
Oh, I mean it's the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
It's
that's what I'm saying. I'm making exceptions.
no, oh god, okay. All right.
But
Brett,
Elimination Chamber. Oh, it's in Australia.
oh, you have something against Australians too? It's not in Canada.
I mean, it's just like a warmer Canada.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, a Canadian may be on the show very soon. We don't know. So hopefully you can calm down whatever you got going on. All right. Thank you guys so much. Next week, Oasis Pro, Solids and Stripes. Look in this game. You either a solid or a stripe. Find out which one you are. January 26th, Friday, Gilman Brewery, 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Lover Boy Leo, the Melanin Mafia make their debut. You're gonna have Jaguar Montoya, Victor Von Richter, Brooke Havoc, and so many other stars. You don't want to miss it. Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous.
Ain't nobody better. Look. Yeah. Listen to us every time we live in the side. When you turn it on, it's just defining the mind. If you feel it, our opinion's straight. When everything we moving now with the state, turn us on if the feeling is right. Every opinion now comes from the heart. No time we move with the part. We on the radio, it's wrestling. Time's aggression. Here is the feeling in the pool. Get the lesson. And if you want to prove it to you now, here's the feeling in the time and everything that we did. Listen to the senators connecting it. Moving on everything that's pronouncing it. Everything we did in the time now with the testament. Here is the feeling when we live on the stage. And everything we do, turning the page. Nobody doesn't like us. The feeling when we move, we are excited. Elite podcasting. I know you like it. Yeah. The Bullet Cast. Feel us. The Bullet Cast. Feel us. The Bullet Cast. Feel us. Elite podcasting. We are. The Bullet Cast now. Feel us.
This has been the Bullet Cast. Thank you for listening.